Hello, everybody. Welcome to Balls Baller 96. I'm Sergio Rodriguez. Welcome to my podcast. This is the first episode. It's like the millionth try, by the way, but it's the first episode. In this episode, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite players in the sense of today. And I'm going to ask the question. I mean, everybody's asking it. It's already put right there in the mainstream media. But I just want to give my thoughts on how and why. And the question is, does Luka Doncic deserve the MVP? And will he win it? Now, the thing that comes to me about it is because of the numbers, which is what I like to use, the stats, which I actually got on a piece of paper. The statistics. Where is he in the league? Independent of the statistic I wrote. I verified. And also, can he win it? Will he win it? Why will he win it? Why will he not win it? Now, let's start with Luka. We all know who Luka is. He is the third pick of 2018 draft by the Dallas Mavericks, and Trae Young will be forever linked in this draft. Should have the Atlanta Hawks drafted Trae Young instead of Luka. I just gonna leave it right there. I believe both of them want the draft. I mean, Luka is Luka. You cannot go wrong with Luka. But Trae Young himself has done excellent for himself in his career in this great league called the National Basketball Association. Now, going for Luka, the fact that he's playing as well as he is absolutely incredible. I remember writing for the Smoking Cuban once, and I wrote an article about Luka, saying why my first one was for Wendell Carter. Why should the Dallas Mavericks draft him? The other one was for Luka, and one of the things I wrote was Luka's rookie year, and I said that he could go in the first year. He could actually put similar numbers to the numbers he put in. Was in the Liga ACB in EuroLeague when he won the MVP and the Rising Star and the championship that year, the year prior. He could go mid-tier, which was about 20 points and 7 assists, rebounds and 6 assists. And he could have gone in the high tier was obviously the 25 plus points, 8, 9 rebounds, 7, 9 assists, maybe a triple-double. I don't remember very well. But actually, I kind of got it right. I mean, he ended up averaging 21.2 points. I'm going to check that on later after I'm done with the podcast. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 7, 6 assists. Around that, I really didn't like that he didn't average more than 1.4, 1.5. He didn't average 1 point something still. He had like 0.7, 0.9. I thought I was a little bit disappointed in that. And all this year has been like that, like 0.7, 0.9, and the block 0.5, 0.4. When he can actually block shots because of his size, he has great size. He's a great player, has great size, 6'7", between 230 and 260 pounds, depending on is he in or out of shape. Because if you remember very well, he himself admitted once that he went to the training camp weighing 260 pounds, and he produced. Let me get it clear. He produced that year. He averaged around 28 points, something like that. 28.8 rebounds, 8 assists, 9 rebounds, 9, 8 assists. I mean, he produced, but the problem was that he was out of shape. So, he wasn't as good as in the speed department. Excuse me. After he dropped weight, he went on and started dominating. He plays in the FIBA. He just plays whenever he's needed. He plays for Slovakia. I mean, Slovenia. It's Slovenia. I don't remember the national team. I admit that. I'm not gonna be lying. I'm gonna act like I know everything. I do know a lot, but I don't know everything. But this year, Luka has been a revelation. Luka has been an exceptionally dominant player. Like, he's not just that player that can dominate. No, he is dominating the league this year. He is proving that he is way more than just an offensive player. And the numbers back it up. So what is Luka for the MVP? Does he deserve the MVP? Let's go by the numbers, which I wrote in a piece of paper, because last time I tried to actually do this exact segment and it didn't turn out well. So let's start. Luka Doncic, he's leading the league in minutes per game with 37.5 as of today, as of this podcast. I don't remember the date, but I can actually say it. He's leading the league in points with 33.5. He's averaging 8.7 rebounds per game. Also, he's averaging 8.7 assists, which is 4th. He's averaging 1.9 steals per game, which is a career high. And he's 3rd, 1.5 blocks per game on 50.5, 33.1, and 71.2 free throw percentages. I think the free throw, by the way, is a... In my personal opinion, it's a career low. If you verify the numbers, I normally use Basketball Reference, but you can go through ESPN, you can go through StatMuse, you can go to the NBA.com, and it's still going to be the same because it's the stats. The stats has to be the same thing in every single place. It's not something's wrong. So, the fact that Luka is actually scoring, I mean, literally scoring, fourth in this, I mean, let's go with this. He's top five in points, assists, and steals. That alone should give you a signal. That alone gives you a signal. And he's around top 20, top 35, top 30 in when it comes to rebounds. Because there's players who's averaging around 8.7, 8.9, close to what he's averaging, and they're top 20. So, oh my god, I'm losing my voice. I'm losing the air, sorry. So, Luka Doncic being able to constantly be there, it is incredible. The only thing I would love to see him more is to block shots, but I can't complain. I mean, let's go with the advanced number. The only number in which he's not even close is offensive rating, which is, I wrote it back here. Okay. Offensive rating, it doesn't even come out in the top 20, but I'm pretty sure it has to do because all the, I don't like that. I don't like the offensive rating very much. As much as defensive rating, but I can understand why he's not there. Remember that you have to actually have something about it. And I have to learn it. Again, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. I have to study the offensive rating and the defensive rating. I have to study those. But I do understand the defensive rating a bit. So let's go with the advanced numbers for Luka. Okay, the PER, the player efficiency rating, which everybody says, a lot of people I heard of, especially, which is, by the way, I'm gonna blast the guys. Come on, ESPN, Fox News, what the heck is wrong with you guys? Like, it has to take an actual YouTuber to actually do an excellent analysis for about 7 minutes when you got 2-3 hours and you can't do something about it. I'm sorry. I just gotta blast you guys for that. But the PER is known as, it's kind of an inefficient, they say it's an inefficient thing, because somebody can actually make a ton of an excellent, you know, production stats and all, and still have a low PER. But let's go with the PER for Luka. Luka is leading the league in PER with 31.3. He is tied for first with 4 win shares per game. He's tied for third with 2.9 in offensive win shares, and he's sixth with 1.2 defensive win shares, which is excellent. He is third on win shares per 48 with 2.257. He is second on box plus minus with 10.7. He is second with one on offensive plus box plus minus with 8.1, and is fourth with defensive box plus minus with 2.6. He's also first in value over replacement player with 2.4. Again, I don't know the offensive rating because he's not in the top 20. And he's 17th with 100.82 defensive rating. And he's second with user percentage of 37.8. So basically, Luka Doncic, when it comes at least to his team, he's clearly the most valuable player. Now, will he win the MVP? Does he deserve the MVP, first of all? Personal opinion, yes. He's top 5 in 3 of the 5 preliminary categories, which is the production. What are the production? The production numbers, points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. He's first in points of as of this podcast, episode. Fourth in assists, and third in steals. He's the efficient scorer. He needs to be better. The thing with Luka is that he shoots way too much that step back three. I know he's sick. For the love of God, I'm nervous. I know it is his signature, you know, offensive go-to move. That step back, side step, whatever he does. But it's not worth it. Like, a lot of times he can just go and attack the basket. He can go and kill it from the mid-range. He's that good. But the analytics era really just ruins the game a lot of times, because for me, one of the most efficient shots is actually the mid-range. And if you can use it well, you can actually use it to open up the game. It's one of those things that you use it in a consistent basis, and it can open up the entire game. It can open up the paint, and it can open up the three-point line. But that is just my personal opinion. Going to the advanced statistics, he's also, you can find him in nearly all of the advanced mechanics that are normal. For example, there's the they call it the Carmelo or the Anthony something, or it is, or when they have a ton of names, Smith or whatever. And those numbers, I really don't feel that they're good. I don't like them. Because first of all, what the heck? Like, they keep adding statistics to a game that only had 5. I do understand the rebounding percentage. I understand the rebounding percentage. I can understand those, but I don't like those. I don't use those. Because you can have a 27 rebound percentage, and you can average 8.5 rebounds per game. Which that won't mean that you're a great rebounder. That just means that your team sucks at rebounding. To the point that you are better rebounding when you're on the floor. That's my opinion when it comes to that, and as well as blocks and point, whatever. But if we go, for example, the PER, his first, the win shares per game, tied for first. The offensive win share, third, tied for third. Defensive win share, sixth. Win share per 48 minutes, third. Blocks plus minus, second. Offensive box plus minus. Okay, let's go. Box plus minus. He's second overall. He's third, second in the offensive side of it. And he's fourth in the defensive side of it. He's the first in value over replacement player. He's not in the top 20 of offensive rating, but he's 17th in defensive rating. And he has the second highest usage rate. If I recall, it was below Giannis Antetokounmpo. All stats according to basketballreference.com. Luka has an impact for his team. It is said that he has a problem with being a team player. I don't know. I don't see much. I do have problems watching the games. I did saw a game earlier today. I'll see if I see another game after doing this podcast episode. Now, will he get the MVP? The season is still young. See what I did there? Nah, I didn't do any pun. The season is still young. He can win the game, the MVP, excuse me, if his team start winning game. He's out of the, as far as I know, they started 1-8, 1 win, 8 losses on the road. That is deadly. If they manage to make the playoffs like that, that they won't be able to win the series, because they can't win outside of their own turf, outside of their home court. What I do like to see is, can he help the team win? He does do that, by the way. The problem for me is more around the entire team, the personnel. They lost Jalen Brunson. They've done many bad decisions. Now, can they help Luka win? And will Luka, according to an article I read, become more of a team player and trust the teammates more? Considering the problem they're having, I don't think so. But let's see how that goes. I believe that they can do that. And I believe Luka can do that. Will he win it this year? Depends on the record. If Luka managed to help the team and the team goes, for example, a 6 seed, an 8, a 7, 6, 5 seed, he can win it. If that doesn't happen, if he goes 6 seed or under, he won't win it. Again, there is the appreciation in the production and there's the appreciation in winning. Can Luka contribute to winning more than he does already? Can the team give itself a better chance for Luka? That depends all on both Luka and Dallas. So that is for Luka. Let's see what they can do. I give them the best. I hope they can get the best out of each other. That is it for this segment. Let me talk to you about Zion Williamson this year, because I'm excited. I just watched the game against Denver and he was great. And I'm gonna give a shout out to the Puerto Rican bro, the descendant from the Isla del Encanto, Jose Alvarado. Stay tuned. So guys, welcome back. By the way, if you find it a little bit better, the sounding quality, let me know. I'm actually putting the noise reduction in the microphone, something I took off, trying to fix a little bit so I don't get into technical difficulties. So going back to what we were talking about, I do remember saying that I was going to speak about Zion Williamson. So here it is. Zion this year came back after breaking his foot during summer workouts. He was scrutinized a lot and criticized because of his lack of condition. But considering you're hurt in the legs, it's very difficult to exercise. Although you're a professional athlete, so excuses are not very well welcomed. Now the thing with Zion is that this year he's playing incredible. I mean, he's not averaging career highs in a lot of areas. I mean, he's not dominating the league in scoring, nor is he rebounding like he should, but he's actually passing the ball better. He's defending way more. He's actually playing a very good defense. He's not great. He's not where at least I believe he could be. He's not playing like he played in Duke, the defense he used to play in Duke, but he is still playing, being more active, trying to defend. He only lacks a few things. And that's something I want to talk about today. Now let's go with the NBA statistics, which I wrote down on a book, on a notebook that I have here. I have my reasons for doing that. And by the way, the numbers, I go by the numbers because I like to go with stats. But before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Jose Alvarado. He went for 38 points in the game, which happens basically yesterday or today. It's a little bit late here when I'm in Puerto Rico. But in the win against the Denver Nuggets, he scored 38 points. He made a ton of threes. I don't remember how many, but he made a ton of threes. And he and Zion score, I can tell you what they combined to score, but if I could do the math, which is, for example, 38 plus 20 equals 58 plus 5 more equals, I'm doing the math here, 59. 63 points. They combined for 63 points. Zion, who played great, by the way, at least in my personal opinion, in my own biased opinion, Zion, who is averaging this year, who played great this year with 25 points, around 6-7 rebounds, about 4-5 assists per game, assists in this game. He played great, he defended. That is something we should be more than anything, at least as Pelican fans, proud and happy to see him play. The gravity is incredible. He pulls a lot of plays. But we'll talk about that later. Let's say how is he doing this year. This year he's averaging 23.5, which is slightly higher than his rookie year, but it's lower than 27 the year before, which is 11th in the league, by the way. He has 7.1 rebounds per game, which I would say is second to his career high. 4.3 assists per game, which is a career high, by the way. 1.3 steals per game. The 4.3 is an assist. I don't know if I pronounced it correctly. And 0.6 blocks, which is tied for career high, which is low for me. He should be blocking more. On 59.5, 27.3 from 3, and 73.6 on the free throw line, shooting speed. He has a PER, a player efficiency rating, of 25.7, excuse me, which is 10th in the league. He's 18th in win shares with 2.5, 19th in offensive win shares with 1.7. He has 0.8 defensive win shares. Sixth in the NBA in win share for 40 minutes with 224. He has an offensive box plus minus of 4.7, which is 18th again. A defensive box plus minus of 1.5, which is 20th in the league. A plus minus overall, which is of 6.1, which is 14th in the league. He is 16th in the league with a 1.1 value over replacement player. An offensive rating of 124, and a 108.4 defensive rating, which puts him in 19th place in the league. Zion has played incredible. Zion said he gets to the league. He was touted as the next LeBron or the next Charles Barkley. I believe that he's close to neither. Now he's close to neither. Because he's not rebounding like Charles Barkley, you know? He's not grabbing that rebound. And he has so much potential as a defender. He's playing great defense now, but he's not playing at the level he can do. It's not to criticize him. That's how I feel. I have high expectations on him because of what I believe he can do. But until he doesn't start doing it, I'm going to call him an all-time great. All-time great. His defense has been spectacular because he's actually being active. He could average way more steals and way more blocks if he was just active. His rebounding numbers are very subpar. Very, very low for somebody as strong and as athletic as he is. And not just because of his size and athleticism, but because he's so smart. He can use techniques, but he's still... I see him play. And sometimes I feel that I see him a little bit lost. He's not like Rodman engaged. He's not engaged in the rebounds. He's not engaged in the box out. He can grab rebounds, but he does it on his... I'm here, I'm gonna grab it now. No, he doesn't chase the ball like Robin does. Like players who do rebound the ball with a reckless advantage do. If he managed to grab more offensive rebounds per game, he would get an easy bucket. Or even more passing. If he grabbed the ball, he would push the pace more with the grab and go. Zion is capable of so much things that he is still just tapping into that potential. Can he stay healthy? That is a question that he needs to answer. We still have about 20 games into this. Let me fix it because again, remember, I'm making mistakes. I'm just winging it right now. I'm winging it. You know, I'm trying to break a leg here. He needs to, you know, prove that he can stay healthy for an entire season. Can he thrive in the playoffs? That's something else we need to watch. Now, what I really would love to see Zion is more than anything. Grab rebounds, like for real. I'm gonna emphasize this. When you got that ability, that physical ability to defend and grab rebounds, you should be able to do it. Zion should start and be trained to go on and put on the defense. Like Willie Green should tell Zion, we got CJ, we got Brandon Ingram. The guys can score. We got this much offensive firepower. Now I need you, Zion, to be our lead defender because you have the ability to guard from guard. And I'm not joking, he's able to stay with guards and he's able to push around. I'm not get pushed around, to literally push around big strong centers. He has that ability. Now the problem comes in, how do you do that? How do you practice that? How do you mentor him to that? Because remember, we already know he has a big load on offense. But great, truly great players. I mean, they're great. They're players. They're great players. They're truly great players. And they're elite players. And they're the all-time greats. Truly all-time greats. can literally dominate both ends on the floor. Luka Doncic is now heading into the elite category because of his defensive intensity and the defense uptake. And by the way, I realized, I verified the numbers, and Luka, as of now, does not lead the league in minutes per game. He dropped to 37.1, if I'm not mistaken. What I really would love to see about Zion is him guarding the opponent's best player, no matter the position. For example, putting like against the Lakers, he puts them against maybe LeBron or Anthony Davis, against especially Anthony Davis, against the Philadelphia 76ers, more than anything against Joel Embiid. In my personal opinion, a better matchup because of the ability to use strength more than speed. That could also play in the factor, and holding Mr. Embiid out of the paint, although it would be difficult, it's not impossible with a player like Zion. Again, the Celtics put him against Jayson Tatum or Jaylen Brown. Against Portland, you have no choice but to put him against Damian Lillard. I mean, sometimes you gotta throw him into the fire to see where he can go, and to also see how he himself can get better. Luka, who was a liability on defense, right now is being an excellent defender. He's a great defender. Like, he went from liability to great today. This season has been great. Now, can he get better to be elite? Because what Luka has designed doesn't is an incredible basketball IQ and also intangibles and technique. Zion has all the physical ability that Luka would love to have, but he's lacking in that department. And Luka can get more athletic, but he cannot get Zion athletic. Now Zion can get Luka knowledge, like not at his level. He can't get Luka knowledge, but he can get close enough. If he can get close enough and be active all the time, his defense will become on the elite of the elite, and he will truly be able to be an all-time player. Did you notice that I never once mentioned Zion Williamson getting a jump shot? What I would say is that he needs to develop his right hand, because of the defense might try to actually figure out a way to use multiple players to stop him, because obviously he will catch a body. That's something we know he can do. Zion has such gravity that everybody's watching him when he's on the floor. Now, developing that right hand for layups and hook shots, those type of shots can actually get him into an even more dominant way to score. Maybe for me, personal opinion, the biggest reason why Zion dropped from 27 points per game to 23.5. Then give me a second, just verifying the exactly 23.5. is because he only uses his left hand from no matter the distance, no matter the angle. If you manage to use the right hand for hook shot, for the same type of layup, if you manage to get that involved, he will be much more difficult to stop in the paint. Now, I would love to see him gain a mid-range jump shot in a three-point shot, but as a whole, if nobody can stop you in the paint, why try to? Zion has the ability to be a mini-check who dominates in the paint, but actually has better passing shots, better handling of the ball, more speed, and could potentially have an even better defense. I wish the best for all of the New Orleans Pelicans. Congratulations on their win against the Denver Nuggets. And I really hope everything goes well for them and for all on the league, because at the end, all on the league, I'm nervous doing this. Whew. At the end of the day, the one who wins the most is us, the basketball fans who love the game of basketball. I hope, and this makes up for the episode, I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as I have making it. Even though I'm nervous about this, I hope you guys can enjoy everything. May Jesus Christ bless you all. Take care and good night.